Joan Bakewell, thank you very much for joining us to do your personality politics.
Thank you very much for inviting me.
I can't call you Baroness and I can't call you Dame.
I think of myself as a working journalist. I'm still working. I'm still broadcasting. I've got a series coming up in the autumn, which is going out. I do it on my laptop. And I think of myself as a journalist, though I take my role in the House of Lords quite seriously. But that's nothing to do with the titles.
What's wrong with being a working Baroness journalist?
A working Baroness journalist, yes. It sounds completely phony.
It doesn't trip off the tongue, does it? Let's talk about your politics. Let's go back to where it all began. Do you remember your political awakening? What was your first political memory?
Well, I was a child during the war, and the war itself was very complicated for a child to live through. And I do remember rejoicing after the war in the Labour victory. And I remember that we had a school election, a mock election at school. I was about 12. And that we all took sides, and I took sides with the most popular girls in the class, who were Tory, and so I voted Tory, and the school election went forward. And I came home and I said to my parents, "We had this mock election, and I voted Tory." And they both jumped on me and said, "No, no, no, we're Labour." So I went back next day and explained to the school that I'd made a gross error, and that in fact I was Labour. I didn't know what any of it meant.
What happened to the election results at school?
Nobody really knew what it was about. I mean, the Tories thought they were rewarding Churchill for winning the war, and Labour was sort of thinking it was time for a change, and that was about what it amounted to. But then, of course, that's probably what it amounted to in the nation too, because Churchill certainly expected to win and was hugely disappointed. All the people who wanted change were surprised that they achieved it. So it was a very, very cataclysmic election.
When did you actually personally identify with a political party then?
My parents were, they were Labour voting, but they didn't take very much interest in it. But we came from a family. I mean, both my grandparents had been factory workers. My grandmother had died, you know, prematurely from TB because they couldn't afford a doctor. So there were a family that were growing up in working class Manchester without any sort of facilities, very modest homes, no health insurance and so on. So we naturally inclined to the benefits of the welfare state. And as the 40s went on, it became clear that these were very good things that were happening. So in a sense, I very slowly, and as I grew into the sixth form where I studied history, began to take sides with social justice. It was social justice that really locked me into the Labour Party strategy.
You didn't think you could be a social justice campaigner and vote Conservative?
No, the people who were really active for social justice, I think this is still true, is the Labour Party. And this is social justice that matters to me very much. I care about things like the economy. I studied economics at Cambridge, but there I studied with the Keynesians, and I became a Keynesian and I remain a Keynesian. So it all tended to follow the same trajectory. I was interested in what the Conservatives voted for because I had many Conservative friends at Cambridge. But I was basically, I mean, my tutor at Cambridge was Eric Hobsbawm. So that was
a celebrated Marxist thinker, of course, for anyone who isn't aware.
He also taught me to question things, not to just accept. He would always say, "Where's the evidence? You're saying all this. Give me the evidence." And I thought that's very good training for a historian, or indeed for absolutely anyone, really.
So you grew up in a family in Manchester. Did you ever have a Northern accent, a Manchester accent?
I had a Stockport accent. I grew up because my parents were aspirational, you see, from these rather modest background. They wanted to get on in the world. And so they bettered themselves in a modest degree. So they moved from terrace houses into a semi-detached. And I've always regarded that as the biggest social leap you can make in the class system of the British people. I grew up in Cheshire and went to a grammar school. I passed the 11 plus, got a grammar school education, and became wedded to what education could do for people.
What happened to your Stockport accent?
It was quite heavy, and it's not a pretty accent. It's not like Liverpool or Geordie. And my parents, in their aspirational way, wanted me to get on, and they sent me to elocution lessons. they weren't very successful. My teacher gave me very poor marks. But when I got to Cambridge, of course, I went to one of the two women's colleges, and my contemporaries there were all very largely from private schools and from comfortable backgrounds. I mean, Newnham, in a sense, many of my colleagues at Newnham were the children of Bloomsbury, the bright daughters who'd gone to St. Paul's and places like that. And they had enormously, they had quite plummy voices, as a matter of fact. They'd sound rather market today, but I was enormously in awe of absolutely everyone, including them and their voices. And so I tried to get rid of my Stockport accent and remembered the lessons from my elocution.
Do you regret that now?
Well, I can see that it was rather sad that I should be so intimidated. But nonetheless, you have to be true to the facts. And indeed, I was. I wanted to belong. I wanted to be one of them, which I clearly wasn't in any social background. Though, you know, they treated me as equals. I mean, they didn't patronise me. I felt very vulnerable.